It's October 10, 2009. My name is Dan De Witt for Deep Journal in Paris at the annual 9/11 conference. Together here with Niels Herrod. Mr. Herrod, you wrote an important paper on nanothermite. Can you tell me what the paper was about and what happened to you when you published it?
Well, the paper covers an investigation done by a total of 9 authors, of which I'm the proud first author. And some of the other authors might be known to the audience. These are Stephen E. Jones and Jeffrey Farrer, Kevin Ryan, James Lawley, and Frank Lecke, etc. Now, what we have done is we have investigated the dust which was produced by the collapse of the 3 World Trade Center skyscrapers. And let us remind ourselves at this point that there were 2 airliners, but there were 3 high-rises to collapse on September 11, 2001. And this in itself should be attract some attention. Now, what we have looked, we have investigated the dust, and in the dust found what we believe, I must say, is remains of an energetic material called nanothermite. Now, but the word energetic material covers something which can do something. It can react, which is very important, and it can produce a lot of heat, or it can produce pressure, then it is an explosive. Okay. Now, this material, the word nanothermite in 2 parts. There's a nano and the thermite part. And let me take the thermite first. Because this label thermite refers to a reaction which has been known among chemists for more than 100 years. From 1893 it was discovered that if you mix aluminum, very finely divided dust aluminum, with iron oxide finely divided particles, you mix these 2 powders, and if you can get them to react with each other, they react very violently in the sense that a lot of heat is produced. And in the chemical process also you produce iron. And this iron comes out in a temperature of 2,500 degrees centigrade, which is 1,000 degrees higher than the melting point of iron. So this iron coming out of the thermite reaction is very, very, very hot. It can be useful. You can use it for welding other iron things like rails, train rails or tram rails. But you can also use it destructively. That means you can use the very hot iron to melt other iron items. So it has an obviously military application, because you can melt through armor, you can melt through other iron things with the very, very, very hot iron coming out of the thermite reaction. Okay, it works as a knife. And in a certain configuration, as we call it, if you mix sulfur to the thermite mixture, it cuts through iron like a hot knife cuts through butter.
What are the ways that this thermite can end up in a building?
Well, let me just give, maybe you should come to the other part, because what I've talked about so far is the old-fashioned way of using thermite. With nanotechnology, the components of the reaction can be mixed much more intimately. The particles are much more slower, which means that the reaction goes about 100 times faster than in ordinary old-fashioned thermite. And also in this technology, by adding other stuff, you can turn the functionality of how the material works so it can also serve as an explosive. We do not know if the chips that we have found serves as an explosive, or if it has been used for cutting the steel beams. We know that some thermite has been used for cutting the steel beams because you have found molten iron in the rubble after the collapse. You have seen molten iron pouring out of the South Tower before it collapsed, and we have found tiny spheres, tiny balls of irons in the dust, which also is an ambitious, no doubt...
Unambiguous.
Unambiguous, I'm sorry. Unambiguous proof for the application of thermite. So we knew on beforehand the thermite had been used. So our findings actually does not have the big news value because we knew that thermite had been used already. But of course it's nice to know. The fantastic thing about this is that this is unreacted thermite. This is the thermite which kind of has survived the collapse procedure and still was found in the dust. And this is not my idea. It was Stephen Knight Jones who got the idea, said maybe we should look for unreacted thermite in the dust. And we found it, and it's incredible.
And how can unreacted thermite or thermite in general end up in a building? What are the ways? Is there maybe one way or several ways?
No, that's a very good question. Because those who put it there should tell us how it got there. I mean, the obvious thing, the only sensible explanation, is that you roll the stuff in on pallets, you take a truck, you put, we are talking about tons, we're talking about many, many tons. So you put them on a truck, you roll them into World Trade Center on a pallet, you move them up with the elevators, you go onto the floor where you want to put it down, and you put it on.
It's not possible the thermite ended up because maybe the beams were welded using thermite?
No, no way. Absolutely no way.
Or maybe as a residue from a plane?
Absolutely no way. I mean, many people have suggested it, but this is a basic misunderstanding of chemistry because you cannot form something reactive in a very hot reaction. Now, if you throw, gunpowder. Okay, gunpowder is made out of charcoal and saltpeter and sulfur. Now, if you throw these three things into a campfire, you would not expect that you would get dynamite or a grenade coming out of it. How should I say this? Because thermite, you cannot produce something with a lot of energy at high temperatures. You have to mix the ingredients at low temperatures and then have them reacting. There's no way of thinking that the components, people are saying there's aluminum in the towers and there's iron oxide in the towers, but it's not the same thing as producing an intimate mixture of these materials. So there's no way it could be produced in the towers.
Would anybody anywhere, experts agree that thermite can only end up in a building when it was used to explode?
Yeah, I would say, of course. There's no way it can be produced, say, in a quote-unquote natural process. No.
Okay. What was the thing that your report added to what was already there?
Well, in terms of conclusions, there's nothing new, as I told you, because we knew the thermite has been used. And we are mixing now, you and I, also the word thermite and thermate.
Yeah.
Okay, you recognize that. Thermate is thermite with sulfur. It's a variety of thermite.
More explosive.
No. Actually, less explosive, but more efficient cutting through iron, because the presence of sulfur lowers the melting point of iron. So the thermite can work more efficiently. And this is what you use for going through armor and stuff. But it appears that several varieties of thermite actually have been used in the towers. It seems like that. Now, I forgot your question.
Let me ask you another question. Did you put your report forward to, say, your peers?
Yeah, it's available. It is published along completely normal channels in a journal.
Okay, but what were the reactions?
None. No reaction.
Is there another reaction possible than saying it was done on purpose to bring down the building?
Let me say, when you're saying among my peers, the reaction...
Peer review.
It was peer review. There's nothing... It was completely... The procedure was completely normal. Maybe not quite, because the journal is a little different than what we could call mainstream journals. This is an open journal, which means that you can go in and read the article without having to be accredited university or a library, which you otherwise should have been. So the access is, and this is the most important thing for us for selecting this journal, that there was open access, that anybody can read it without paying a fee. Now, the next reason is that it is very long. It's extremely long compared with all the other papers I have published, which would cause a problem if it had been a paper journal. Third, there's and many pictures in it, which also is not liked by the paper journals. And fourth, we retain the copyrights ourselves of all the pictures. So if you want to use one of the pictures, you can ask me and I'll grant you the permission. But regarding my peers, I have had really no comments from peers, scientists around the world.
Did you expect it?
No, not really. Well, of course, I would say that there has been criticism. Of course, plenty, but not on a very sound scientific basis. Very few, and there have been, because you can always say, why haven't you done this, why haven't you done that? And this scientists sometimes do, and this is quite normal, and you can shrug your shoulders, because this you can always do. Why haven't you done this and that experiment? And this I accept, but this is not a serious threat to the conclusion. Because a scientific paper is nothing more than what it is. There is a set of data, and there is the best possible hypothesis to explain the observations, and that is it, nothing more. And we should not carry the conclusions beyond the data, beyond the measurement. Okay, so all I can say, we have found something which looks like thermite, which acts like thermite, and which could be thermite. It's like you say, it quacks like a duck, it waddles like a duck, it looks like a duck, maybe it's a duck. And that's all we can say about the great, great chips we have found.
Is this the most important document, scientifically speaking, regarding 9/11?
No, not at all. No. The most important piece of evidence, I think, would be Building 7 coming down. And this is a video which everyone can see. Now, there were two airliners hitting World Trade Center, but there were three skyscrapers coming down. So anybody who can count to three should know that there is something wrong. And you don't need a scientist to tell you that. You shouldn't trust me, you trust yourself, because it's so simple and obvious. And our paper is just an academic footnote to the story of truth.
Thank you very much.